Welcome to day 192 of The Story That Changes Everything. Our readings for today are Isaiah chapters 28 through 30. Here are some thoughts to guide your reading for today. Chapters 28 through 30 return to oracles against Ephraim or Israel and against Judah. These oracles are rooted in the historical situation of Isaiah in the late 8th century as Assyria conquered Ephraim and threatens Judah and Jerusalem. All three chapters for today open with the same word, a word we translate either oh or woe or doom. Chapter 28 opens with an oracle against Ephraim and its leaders, but the prophet sees similar problems with the leadership of Judah. Isaiah accuses them of being drunk. Now, this may be a literal problem of the leadership, but it also may symbolize that they have become intoxicated, not just with alcohol, but with power, with materialism, with various forms of idolatry. And this kind of drunkenness keeps them from being able to clearly discern God's word and God's wisdom. Like being drunk and not knowing what they're doing, they're drunk with power and they can't rightly interpret the voice of God. In verses 10 and 13, the prophet is essentially saying that all God can do is to try and speak Hebrew forms of baby talk to them. All they understand is gaga gugu and the first letters of the alphabet. The deal that the leaders of Jerusalem have cut with death, which is in verse 14, may refer to the potential political alliances that the leaders tried to make with Egypt or another foreign ally. Those alliances, believes Isaiah, will simply not work. As is always the case for the prophet, the leaders need to trust in the cornerstone of God's faithfulness and presence. The chapter ends with a farming metaphor. God knows the seasons and when it's time to harvest and when it's time to replant something new for the future. And like God is using Assyria as a tool for judgment, like a good farmer, God also knows how to use his farming tools and what the limitations of those tools are as well. Though the Assyrians are not mentioned by name in chapter 29, its prophetic poetry seems to refer primarily to that time when Israel's leaders anticipated Sennacherib's invasion and the possible siege of Jerusalem in 701 BC. The name Ariel, used at the beginning of the chapter, and upon whom woe is pronounced, is an infrequently used nickname for Jerusalem, derived from a Hebrew word meaning hearth. Jerusalem is caught between the invading power of Assyria in the north and the stable power of Egypt in the south. Judah's leaders were poised to make, or had already made, an alliance with Egypt against Assyria. And as we've seen again and again, Isaiah strongly opposes making such an alliance. It certainly has political ramifications, but for the prophet, the biggest problem was the statement that such an alliance made about Judah's faith or lack of faith in God. Like Ahaz before them, the Judean leaders were relying on what they thought they could see, but to Isaiah, they were blind. At the center of this chapter is verses 13 and 14. The leaders of Judah give God lip service, but their hearts do not actually live in ways that demonstrate trust in Yahweh. This is a primary theme for this section of Isaiah. If you remember, Ahaz was offered a sign from God but refused to trust. As we'll see later, Hezekiah acts in ways of trust that end up reminding the people that God is with them. Chapter 30, for the third chapter in a row, begins with the word woe or doom. This time the doom is on the leaders in Judah who are going down for help from Egypt. The text pictures a large contingent of emissaries sent to Egypt with a great amount of riches and treasures meant to buy Egyptian protection. However, Isaiah is convinced this action will only result in defeat and bring shame to God's people. And that's exactly what happened. The Egyptians were roundly defeated by the Assyrians just north of Philistia, and they retreated home without helping Jerusalem. But the good news of the text is that God is merciful and waiting to show Jerusalem compassion. God will do justice for the people. He will set things right. And the chapter ends with the celebration of God terrifying the Assyrians and turning them away from Jerusalem. This section keeps raising the issue of where we find security as God's people. Do we give God lip service but we don't trust him? Do we find our hope in our possessions? Do we find it in our strength or our wisdom? One of the questions to keep journaling and praying about in this whole section of Isaiah is, what are the alliances of security I make in my life, sometimes every day, that keep me from fully trusting in God and being open to the future that he has for me? Isaiah will keep prodding us tomorrow with this question as we read chapters 31 through 33, and we're adding Psalm 81. I'll talk to you tomorrow.